This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes as today we continue our study of lessons from men now living from the Old Testament book called Job. We've been talking about the lessons that were learned from the men who are described in the book of Job, and having completed that, have now begun our study of how it applies to us. And the fifth thing that we note in that connection is this: the proper reaction to suffering is to trust God, even when one does not know the answer to every question he can ask. In his words to Job, God explained about the test for which he had given permission to Satan. No doubt, if Job had known all of these details, it would have been much easier for him to have borne all of the suffering. But God did not explain all of the details. The book of Job explains them for men today, but Job did not know them. That is, the book of Job in the light of New Testament teaching. Why was God silent on these questions which plagued the soul of this good man? Because it was God's purpose to help Job to see that there are some limits to man's legitimate questioning of the creative activity of God. Now, I'll discuss that just a little later or in the subsequent point. Point number six in our study of the lessons that we can learn from man today: there are some limits to man's legitimate questioning of the creative activity of God. When faced with a charge, which is offered by some types of skeptic, usually an atheist, that Christian theism involves a logical contradiction and therefore cannot be true, it is proper for God's people to respond to that charge and show that Christian theism, that is, that the God of the Bible in connection with the suffering of man does not involve a logical contradiction. If an atheist charges that there is a logical contradiction involved in the affirmation of the conjunction of two propositions, one, God is both omnipotent and omnibenevolent, and B, evil exists, then the child of God must show that such is not the case. This must be done, since if Christianity involves a logical contradiction, then it cannot be true. And Christians are under obligation to refute doctrines which charge Christianity with being false. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. In explanation of the truth that there are limits to man's questioning of the creative activity of God, it must be noted that man simply does not have a platform, that is, a place to get, from which he may legitimately expect to be able to affirm, that is, by his own intelligence, by his own philosophizing, without revelation from God, such a position as God will be doing what is evil if he punishes the wicked forever. Of course, the Bible teaches that God will punish those who die in sin forever, and there is no way that any human being can overthrow that. But the only way we can know the answer to the question, will God be unjust and thus evil if he punishes, that is, after earthly life, the wicked forever, is for God himself to tell us what the wicked deserve because of sin. The Holy Spirit guided the Apostle Paul to say, and now note carefully, that the wages of sin is death. That is, what one actually earns by his sin is death, that is, spiritual death, eternal death, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And that simply refers to eternal separation from God in hell, Revelation chapter 2, chapter 20, verses 10 through 15, Matthew chapter 25, verses 46, where the Bible tells us that the righteous shall go into everlasting life and the wicked into eternal punishment. Consider the utter presumption in the saying by man, a mere creature to God, the Creator, as in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32, you will be evil if you punish wicked men forever. But our time is gone for today. It's been good to study with you from this marvelous book in the Old Testament, and I hope you'll be back with us next time as we continue that study. Until then, may God bless and keep you, is my sincere prayer.